Today is a sad, sad day for MMA fans. Last night we watched Anthony Joshua knock out Francis Ngannou brutally, out cold in the second round. And yeah, today I'm just going to be giving my reaction to that, going over my last minute thoughts on the UFC 299 card that will be starting, well, we're just a few hours away now. But yeah, getting into the fight last night, after Francis Ngannou's first boxing match, you know, there was a lot more hype on this one, a lot more people thinking, you know, maybe this is a place for him to stay, where, you know, Anthony Joshua, that was his main goal in this fight, is to really just show that, you know, he's on a different level to the, Ngannou, who was a great, you know, MMA champion. But so, yeah, the fight with Fury kind of clouded everyone's mind a bit, but this knockout really just made clear that there is such a big gap between these boxers and MMA fighters. And in my opinion, the matchup was way different in itself, because Tyson Fury doesn't bring that one-punch knockout power, where Anthony Joshua, you know, I think he's had something like 28 wins, 24 by knockout or something along those lines. So you get what he brings. Gold medalist, Olympian as well, so yeah, just been a world championship level boxer for as long as I've been watching combat sports. Really, I remember watching him. It's come up when he got that first big breakout fight against Klitschko and put on the wall there. So, you know, he's seasoned compared to a guy like Ngannou, who, you know, only started training like, you know, late into his teens, maybe even his 20s. So that was the main gap. The knockout in itself, probably one of the worst knockouts I've ever seen in any side of combat sport. Obviously, I'm more of an MMA fan, so I'm not always watching these boxing fights, but these big ones, that's the biggest knockout I've ever seen in a boxing match. One of those ones where you're, you know, a bit worried for the guy's health. And getting into where Ngannou goes from here, he's got a few interesting things that he can do. Anthony Joshua was saying maybe he should stay in boxing. In my personal opinion, you know, there's no point in him going out and fighting someone like who's he gonna fight, like a Joseph Parker, who won on the undercard, had a very good performance against Zhang. Even Zhang or Joe Joyce, these fights, just it's very high risk, low reward for Ngannou. But talking about high risk, low reward, that is what I want to see him do next in MMA terms, because, you know, now he's got to go back and fight someone in PFL, Renan Ferreira, who is an absolute beast, knocked out Ron Bader inside the first minute a couple of weeks ago, which, you know, you just see, I think he's like 6'9", and the length he brings to these fights, real scary matchup for Francis. Me personally, I still favour him in that one. You know, it was a real weird feeling to see France get dropped like that, and he's 38 years old, so you never know where he's going to come back from. But yeah, so Renan Ferreira, I think, is the right step to go. I think it's a good matchup. It's sort of one of the best MMA fights you can get with Ngannou outside of PFL. And, you know, Anthony Joshua, we probably want to see him, Tyson Fury, right? Tyson Fury's obviously got a super hard matchup with Usyk later. Well, not later in the year, early in this year, but, you know, later on. So it'll be an interesting way to see how that plays out. I personally am leaning Usyk, so I don't know what the interest would be for the boxing community over another Usyk-Anthony Joshua fight. If not, you know, Joseph Parker, although he has lost quite dominantly to Anthony Joshua, he deserves a big fight, and he's on a tear beating Zhang and Deontay Wilder back-to-back. So, yeah, he deserves one of those big fights. Just a couple more things I'm going to touch on as well. PFL, I think it was Paris this weekend, Thursday night or Friday night. Cedric Dumbe, obviously, two-time glory kickboxing champion, fighting Bakai, who is just a young killer. And it was a real interesting fight. The way it ended was obviously terrible. It's due to like some splinter in his foot or something, real weird stoppage, but bad stoppage in my opinion, because the second time the fight was stopped, when the fighters were complaining, it was Bakai who brought it to Mark Goddard's attention. And Mark Goddard, you know, he can be a bit fiery in situations like this, so it's just a weird scenario. They're going to run that fight back. Dumbe, in my opinion, was looking very good. So impressed with his takedown defense, and, you know, you can just see the level of confidence he does have in his striking. That he just puts his head on the center line, fights in such a low stance to try and avoid those takedowns. His scrambles were really good as well. And Yeah. Overall, the fight really disappointing because of the way it ended. But, you know, they've got an absolute star in Cedric Doumbé and PFO, and Bakay, one of their top prospects coming into MMA at the moment, only 22 years old. His grappling was looking good. Striking, you know, he landed some good shots himself. He wasn't completely outmatched there, but the fight was starting to turn Cedric's way. A couple more things to talk about. Going into the UFC press conference, you know, I felt like it was held in Ecuador with just how much people there were there for Chito Vera. And yeah, the fan base for him is crazy. The noise, one of the loudest press conferences I've seen personally, where, you know, you couldn't even hear the questions they were asking. Chito had to ask three times for a question to be repeated. But yeah, overall, the press conference, in my opinion, was terrible. Terrible press conference. There was just like there's just a real weird thing with these Sean O'Malley press conferences where, you know, he is such a big star and he has everything about him. It's just like, personally, the dress sense was not for me. You'll never catch me wearing anything like that. But yeah, it's flashy. He drives the flashy cars. You know, he's one of these like real in tune fighters with sort of how to grow himself, and he's always been across social media. It's like, it seems like he was one of those fighters who is a bit like influencer switched with it. So you are expecting these big things from these press conferences, but yeah, he had a line in there, you know, said he was going to send Peter Yan to bare knuckle, knock out Peter, and there's some, yeah, just not great lines, but Song Yadong, Peter Yan both speaking English was good to see. You know, that's how you do build your starts, because it is predominantly American based sport. Well, you know, but just the main fan base, you know, this to be a real star, you don't get loads of stars that come through without being able to speak English. So, but good to see Peter Yan and Song Yadong both, you know, sort of jibbing and jibing at each other, both in the English language. So, yeah, that was interesting. Overall, yeah, nothing real big happened in the press conference. Some real good intense face-offs. Poirier, St. Denis is just going to be an absolute war. I can just tell now. If I just have a feeling it's either Poirier is going to not be the same after that knockout of that, with that loss, you know, all the weight cuts and stuff finally getting to him maybe. But yeah, I have a feeling Poirier is going to end up drowning him. It's going to be a real, real good fight, that one. And getting into, we didn't talk about the early prelims on this one, so just a couple fights I want to talk about. The CJ Vergara fight against Amabayev, it's an interesting one. Not gonna lie, it's probably the fight on the card that I'm least excited for. The Jaron Calderwood one against Marina Moroes, you know, maybe on paper not the best matchup, but for me, Joanne is kind of a pioneer for British MMA fighters, especially women ones, so it's good to see her back probably towards the later stages of her career now. I'm going to give some quick fire predictions. I think Joanne Calderwood, I have a feeling she's going to get submitted though. That's the problem. Maurice is dangerous everywhere the fight goes, nasty off her back as well, so that'll be interesting. The one I'm most excited for on the early prelims, Robles de Spain against Josh Parisian. De Spain, taekwondo, I think bronze medalist in the Olympics. That's what my background was as well. So, you know, I've been growing up watching a lot of real good taekwondo fighters around me, and I love the style. It's not like he brings that sort of crazy taekwondo style, but he's like 6'9", an absolute powerhouse. He's had four fights, all first round knockouts, and now being pushed into the UFC because he is 35 years old at heavyweight. That's not super old, but you know, you got to get on a run real soon. So yeah, just keep him away from grapplers, push him to the top and see where he can go. But I think Robles de Spain is going to win by, I'm thinking probably win by first round knockout. This is a terrible matchup for Josh Parisian, who, let's be real, has not looked great since coming to the UFC. Getting on to the next one, Michael Pereira against Mikhail Oleksandrzyk. It's a good matchup. Pereira, obviously, last time out, moving up to middleweight, getting his first knockout against Andrei Prochoski in the first round, and Oleksandrzyk getting the knockout over Inchikani, which, you know, he was getting hurt early in that fight, a lot of sort of dodgy moments and managing to real push the tide and come back. It's a good matchup. I'm going Mikhail Pereira. I think a welterweight, he he had the fighting style of someone who's like an insane finisher. Petrosi's not the best opponent, but I think he's really going to power mid well up to middleweight. And I think I'm going to go third round TKO in that one. Going on to the last one, Jan Cutelaro against Felipe Lins. You know, Felipe Lins kind of been around for a while now, since 2020, having his debut in the UFC. And he's not on a terrible run, obviously being OSP, then Max Grisham. So there's a few decent little wins in there, nothing special. Cutelaro, you know, he has had some real good moments in the UFC, where maybe even if you're looking at his losses, like he real badly hurt He really badly hurt Glover Teixeira at one point, was looking very good in that fight. And he does have a very high level MMA sort of skill set. You know, we see his kicks, his striking's not terrible. Knocking out Khalil Roundtree, looking real good against Glover Teixeira too. And yeah, it's kind of kill or be killed with him. And I think he's going to get it done. I just have the feeling the power and the explosiveness. We saw him painted as the Incredible Hulk at the weigh-in. So maybe he's bringing back some of that crazy antics he does. So yeah, that's my final thoughts. I just thought I'd make a video because so much big stuff happened. Hats off to Anthony Joshua. What a win. There's so many good fights from now. Even Hrgović. You know, Joshua, in my opinion, is going to be champ again before he retires. I feel like Usyk, maybe towards the later stages of his career, if he does beat Tyson Fury, what else is there really for him to do? So yeah, I think Joshua has a real high possibility of getting those belts back. But yeah, I thought I'd just give them quick predictions on the early prelims. And, you know, this main card in a few hours is going to be insane. So yeah, just last thoughts. I hope you guys enjoyed.